This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
When you became a military service member, you took an oath of office. And when you got married, you did it with a vow. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to have a fascinating conversation with a military officer and his wife talking about the relationship between the responsibilities in the military and our responsibilities or duties as husbands and wives. And the interesting thing is that even though this may be written specifically for those in the military, the reality is, in one sense, we're all in God's military because he's the captain of our salvation, and we're to submit to him and his authority ultimately alone. So what do we do as a husband? What do we do as a wife in the midst of that other command that we're all under? If you go back to the book of Ephesians, you find that each of you or each of them submitting themselves to the other in the fear of God. Now, wives submit themselves to their husbands, and husbands honor, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So there is a sense of this hierarchy of authority there, just as there is in the military. Now, the interesting thing is that yours truly has never been in the military per se. And yet, in a sense, if we're all Christians, we're the army of God. That's right, we are. And we march according to his orders and according to his timing, according to his authority, and we don't quibble about his orders. Because if he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord, he means that because he's in authority. And so that helps to set the stage for us as we look at their fascinating book called Valor and Vows, a tactical guide to a mission-ready marriage. Mission-ready. So often, when people get married, they're not mission-ready. In fact, they're not ready for hardly anything except sex. Well, maybe there's a bigger picture involved here. And so our guest today, Chaplain Major Matthew Spencer of the United States Air Force and his wife Christina Spencer are joining us. They are a couple of live wires because we've already established a foundation with a lot of humor just before the program. And we're going to talk about, yes, there's humor involved, but we're going to talk about something that's very serious because one of the greatest problems in the United States military is broken marriages. Now, we've got broken marriages all over the country. In fact, we've got broken marriages all over the church. How is it possible if we're all in the Lord's army? How is that possible? But it's there. And among the military, the pressures are so unique and so great that the problem is even accentuated. And so today we want to focus on that. We have some experts here. And as a former trial attorney, I always have to qualify my guests as to their expertise. Well, they are, because they have been in the military for a very long period of time, have gone through the ups and downs, the challenges of what it means to be married as a Christian couple, but also in the military. So they're joining us here on Viewpoint. Matthew and Christina Spencer, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, sir, for having us.
Well, it's great to have your voices together there. And where are we finding you today?
We are coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. I'm actually stationed here at Lackland Air Force Base at the moment. So, yeah, great state of Texas.
Wow. You know, I had an uncle who was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and he finished up his years down there in San Antonio. Okay, and yeah. That's the closest I ever came to the Air Force. And
you came to a unique place, that's for sure. There's a lot going on here for our military folks.
Yeah. Well, you're a chaplain. How did you become a chaplain? What caused you to become a chaplain? Was it something that you desired to do? Is it something you were ordered to do? How did that happen?
appreciate you asking that question because, you know, that I wish I had this big fancy answer, but honestly, I joined the military right out of high school and, you know, didn't really have a direction in life. And, and that was my best option. Grew up in West Virginia, you know, small town and not a lot of opportunities popping up there. So, you know, I told my dad, I said, well, I can either work at Walmart or I can potentially play some baseball at one school. I was decent enough to get one scholarship offer. And then the other was the Air Force. And I told my dad, I said, you know what? I've narrowed down my choices. I want to stick around here and be around my buddies. So I think I'm going to take the Walmart job. And at that moment, my dad looked at me and said, okay, tomorrow morning, we're going to go to the Air Force recruiter and you're going to join the Air Force.
Wow. So you were under authority from the very beginning.
Right, correct. So did that and, you know, did 6 years in the Air Force as Security Forces member, essentially law enforcement for the Air Force, and really knew after those 6 years that wasn't what I wanted for the rest of my life. It wasn't where I was called to be, didn't know where I was called to be, had kind of stepped away from faith and just was really struggling, you know, really needed somebody at that point. And got out of the military and struggling to find my way. And, of course, Christine and I were married at this time, and it hit me. I was like, maybe I can go help those guys, you know, the guy I used to be. Maybe I can do something to support those guys, because I went through 9/11, some different tough aspects of military life, and saw some, you know, some things that were really just troubling. And I was in a good spot with the Lord at this point. And my wife said, how about going to school and becoming a chaplain? And I was like, there's no way I could pass college. So I, she kind of gave
me a minute. You were now under a different authority. A wife has spoken. Right, Christina?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and you know what? I took a couple of classes, and I liked them. You know, I'm like, I can do this. So I just kept going and kept going, and before you know it, I had a bachelor's degree, and at that point, I was enrolled in my master's of divinity, and the Lord took off from there with me and just helped me get through those studies, and in the meantime, learned about becoming a military chaplain. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that, of course, I went to school at Liberty University and got my degrees from there and finished with my Master's of Divinity and then was able to recommission into the Air Force as a chaplain. And honestly, the sole reason and the answer to your question was I just wanted to help people that I used to be, because I used to be one of those hurting members that didn't know where to turn.
Well, that's a unique calling. And Christina, you were married at that time when, obviously, when he decided to go back into the military as a chaplain. What did you see as the transition there?
Well, we had been married for some time. I was married to him even while he was in security forces. And I knew that God had a calling on his life.
All right, I want to stop you right there as a segue. You knew that God had a calling on his life.
Yes.
We want to pick up from there right after this break. Friends, the title of the book, Valor and Vows, A Tactical Guide to a Mission-Ready Marriage. It's yours on our website for $17. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment? Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. You see, in the military, it's a very different environment. You're under orders, whether you're a male or female, you're under orders from above. And your responsibility is to fulfill those orders, no matter what. That's what you vowed to do. Well, when we enter marriage, we also made a vow before the Lord. We really did. Now, we don't think about vows anymore. We think they were more like pledges, but no, they're vows. And the Bible says that better it is that you not vow than that you vow and not pay. And don't say before the angel, I made a mistake or it was an error. No, we made a vow. Now, when you enter the military, you made a vow. You pledged something. You pledged with an oath of office that you were going to obey orders of the President of the United States, your commander-in-chief, and when we get married, we pledge and vow to God that we are going to fulfill his orders for a marriage until death do us part, through thick and thin. You see, regardless of, we say in sickness and in health, in sickness or in health, through thick and thin, you see, we're all in the military now. So our special guest today on Viewpoint, Chaplain Major Matthew Spencer, United States Air Force, and his wife, Christina Spencer. How long, Christina, have you been married?
We've been married 21 years.
21 yes, years. All right. Well, you're a long way down the path. You got a long path yet to go. We're just getting ready to celebrate our 59th in about 5 months.
Oh, congratulations.
So, good for you.
Yeah, well, we're moving down the track. But you know what? I didn't even have to be in the military to understand what you're saying in your book. Because what the principles that you're saying in your book that are specifically outlined for a military family to understand, anybody could understand, in fact, maybe should understand even the more so because of how you have couched it to get out of our business as usual thinking about marriage. So,
oh, thank you.
Christina, as we were talking about, you thought that your hubby was called to do this role as a military chaplain. Why did you think that?
Like I said, I was married to Matt when he was enlisted as security forces.
Uh-huh.
And, we literally got married and then I flew home the next day. He was stationed in Korea and we were apart for the first year of our marriage.
That's amazing. Stranger.
Yes. We were no stranger to challenges, but through all of those challenges, I would see Matt just kind of, It was just incredible. People were just drawn to him.
Uh-huh.
They would ask him questions. And when Matt did separate from the Air Force after those 6 years and we were serving in the church and lay ministry and working in our college ministry, we would see these young couples that would gravitate toward Matt. And he had such a way with people and he has such a significant level of empathy. And it's really where I could see God using him in such a mighty way. So that day that he speaks about when he came to me and he said, do you think I could be that guy that could be there as a support system for those servicemen and women that, I needed. I needed back during that time when we were separated from each other. I looked at him and I said, I know you are. I know you are because God's been preparing my heart as well. We knew that this was not a call just for him.
Uh-huh.
It was a call for us.
That is tremendous. You have expounded on that so beautifully, and it sets the stage for everything else that we talk about here on the program. It's almost like a clear opening statement before a jury, and we've got a lot of listeners out there. That's our jury, Matt. Now, you talked about the security forces. I'm curious what that would entail as an Air Force guy. Tell us a little bit about that. Give us some insight.
Well, yeah, as I mentioned, coming right out of high school, young, 18 years old, and not really knowing what to expect, never lived away from home before, and choosing that career field, I didn't really think when I signed up in 2000 and shipped out the basic training that in less than, 2 years, less than 18 months maybe, that we would be at war. And that
a lot of people, when they get married, they didn't realize that they might be signing up for a little bit of warfare as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it all seems easy in the beginning, or you never sit down and think, well, I run across those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Will that happen in my marriage? Will that happen in my career? Will that happen in my life? You just don't prepare yourself for
right.
those type of things. And so for me, those years were difficult because of the terrorist attacks of 9/11 and being, you know, in a career field to where we were the you know, the security for our installations. We were the ones who were out there, you know, guarding the front lines, if you will. So, you know, for me, that kind of changed my life in how I saw, you know, life in general as being, wow, there's a lot more to this.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am at 19 years old, responsible for other people's lives.
Wow.
And that's what I think really changed my heart. But one thing it also did was, just like in marriage where you've been in one a little while and you're meeting some challenges, where do you turn? Well, you know, for me at that point, I had been raised in church, so I knew where to turn. But I didn't have the strength at times to do that, you
wow.
know, because of not surrounding myself maybe with the right people at the right time and not having an outlet or a resource to just to go and talk to. And I think a lot of times that's where we get into trouble, and especially in our relationships, you know, touching on those things early. Don't let them fester. You know, don't get to a place where the only thing left to do is go talk to the chaplain. You know, that's not where you want to be.
Or go talk to the attorney.
So I think that, you know, those years really grew me as a person, and it made me understand the significance of life. And it also showed me my, now that I can look back, a path to where I am now of what people need, why they're hurting, and how we can help them. And that's what we're trying to do now.
Right. Well, I'm curious as to this 9/11 experience and where you, as a young Air Force guy, found yourself caught up in a big time way. What was that connection, the United States Air Force, concerning 9/11?
Well, I was stationed in Wyoming at that point, and a mission there was pretty cut and dry, working with different types of our nation's assets. And at that point, we didn't have social media. We didn't have cell phones like we do today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things were just starting to happen, and the only thing you could look at would be news or TV to figure out what was going on. You know, there wasn't a text message that you could get, you know, or see a feed. So I remember sitting down on that day of 9/11, and later that morning we had been in a briefing room and told to head right back out to the field where we were stationed in full gear. We knew something was happening. We knew America was under attack. We just didn't know what was happening at that point until we sat down and got to watch the footage and watch that second plane hit that tower.
Mm-mm.
And I can remember sitting in silence with the rest of my fire team. I was on a 4-man fire team that I was in charge of. And we all just kind of looked at each other without saying anything. And you could just tell on each person's face, yeah, there was some fear there. But what you could really see was, we're here for each other. We love each other. We've got each other's back. We're going to go do our job. And if that costs us our life, then that's what we signed up for. And, you know, I'll never forget that moment.
Well, it's like reality came home to roost.
It did. Yeah.
You didn't have any idea when you signed up. And it's that way a lot of times. I think with most people, when they get married, they have no idea what they're really signing up for. And then things come along, reality comes home to roost, and now you say, what am I supposed to do? What's the big deal here? So, Christina, as you were involved with your hubby early on, and you experienced some of these testings and trials, how did you personally react to that?
Well, I remember specifically that day because during 9/11, I was a contractor on base, and I worked for what we call the Department of Defense schools. We call them Dodd schools. And Matt was a missile cop at the time. So when he talks about going back out to the field, he was all the way, you know, guarding a silo in the middle of, you know, Nebraska. And so we were in two different states, actually, when all of that happened. And
so you were in the state of marital confusion. Is that it?
Yes. And I remember, you know, at work for us, security forces just came through with black tarps and completely shut our building down. Of course, we had the children for our service members, so there was nobody coming in, nobody coming out. We were on threat con Delta. All the training that we had was real, and it was extremely sobering. And when Matt tells you we didn't have cell phones, there was no way for me to call him to see if he was okay. There was no way for him to contact me. There was no communication. We didn't know what was happening at the time. So in those moments of darkness, when it seems like you're completely overwhelmed and that fear, it just engulfs you, where do you turn?
Right. Well, Matt, that puts a lot of stress on your marriage. It's put stress on you, and by implication, then each one of you under stress, and now it's an accentuated stress upon your marriage. So how do you deal with that?
I would say first and foremost, I know Matt, I don't want to speak for Matt, but I will tell you, you know, really, it was prioritizing the Lord first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I learned through this experience is that he knows the weight of the burdens that we carry.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the weight of the burdens that our spouses carry. He knows their hearts. He created them. So in those moments of complete darkness in our marriage, as I grew in my maturity and I surrounded myself with positive, unbelievable prayer warriors that could speak life into me, they continuously turned me toward the Lord. Take that to the Lord in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Strengthen your prayer life. Watch him turn your husband's heart. Watch him turn that situation in your life. And I will tell you unequivocally that is exactly what happened. But it took me to humble myself, surrender myself under the Lord's mighty hand, and turn all of those things to him in prayer.
And these are not just mere words for you. This was real life. I'm looking at the table of contents in your book, and I've been reading. In fact, I was so caught up in the reading of your book, and I thought, wow, these people have brought a perspective here in a very simple way, a perspective that the rest of us, even if we had not been in the military, could well take to heart. And you've got things like taking the oath of office, communications are essential, mission essential, enduring the mission, tactical engagement, the chain of command, service before self. I mean, these are biblical foundations, but they're all, shall we say, couched in military terminology that we can understand. This is real life. Now get on with it. Let's get this mission under control. What say you, Chaplain Major Matthew Spencer?
Yes, sir.
By the way, do I need to salute?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, I just did. You didn't see it, but I just did. Okay.
No. When you go back and you look at each name of each chapter, it really is biblical, and it really is just a flow of military, though. Like, all those things are what we do in the military. They all have such a context to them.
Right.
But if you apply it to your marriage, it's not that different. You know, we all have these aspects within our relationships. So I think going back to what you were talking about with Christina, when she very brilliantly answered that last question.
She's very brilliant. I can tell that.
So, you know, I am thinking about the 9/11 piece, or any, you know, war for an example would be, you know, you're at war, you just don't know how bad. And that can really apply to your relationships as well.
Well, it sure would, especially if your team is failing. And you said for years, Christina and I failed as a team. We want to find out what that looked like and how you got back on the team. Valor and Vows, friends, a fascinating book, $17 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us, it's $6 for postage and handling.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Valor and Vows, a tactical guide to a mission-ready marriage, a groundbreaking resource for military couples seeking to strengthen their own marriages amidst the unique challenges of service life. Drawing from over two decades of combined experience in military service, ministry, and marriage coaching, the Spencers offer practical tools and biblical principles to navigate deployments, high operational tempos, and the constant transitions of military life. How about the constant transitions of anybody's life, friends, whether or not you're in the military? And therein lies the application, the generalized application of this wonderful book. Again, Valor and Vows. Here's what I'm thinking out there. You may have a relative, you may have a friend who either is in or planning on going in the military. And I want to urge you to seriously consider getting a copy of this book for them. This would be a tremendous book. In fact, they're going to want to hold on to this almost like they had their Bible in their pocket when they were in the trenches. That's right. Valor and Vows, $17. We'll put it in your hands and their hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, I'm looking at the back of your book, Chaplain Major Matthew Spencer, and I'm not saying that to be derogatory. It's just fun. You've got a long title like. You know, it's kind of like pastors that insist upon be calling the right Reverend Bishop so-and-so.
No, not at all. You can you can drop the major piece and just call me Matt or Chaplain Matt.
Okay, I like that. I like that. But I'm just wanting to make sure that people understand who you really are. But I'm looking at the picture on the back of your book, and I don't know whether her picture has been airbrushed or whatever, but you're married to a very cute chick, and
But before you go any farther, I want you to know I understand how lucky she got. I really am.
Well, Matt, you truly do have a face for radio. I'll tell you.
Right, exactly. That's what my dad always told me.
Question, though. Here's my question. Married to such a cute girl, how is it that you could say for years Christina and I failed as a team?
You know what? I see it all the time. she's a very beautiful lady.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see folks that get married for the wrong reasons a lot of times. And you're not saying that that was us, but we were young. We weren't totally sure, but we just dove in anyway, and we see that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and, so how old, Matt, were you when you got married?
Oh, I was 23.
23, and how about you, Christina?
Oh, I may or may not be a couple of years older than him. I will just leave that there.
Okay.
Not
okay.
Much.
So, in other words, In other words, you were young, but you weren't that young. And an awful lot of married couples say, oh, well, you know, we were married so young and we just didn't understand, so we're deciding to split up. What say you, Matt?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question real quick?
I said there are a lot of couples out there. Oh. They said, well, we married so young, and we just didn't understand, so we're just going to quit and wash it up and get on with the rest of our lives. We're not going to be married anymore. What say you, Mr. Chaplin?
Oh, you know, if they were sitting in the office, we definitely have to delve into some reasonings and the whys behind each one of their you know, concerns or desires. And I think once you start sitting down talking to a couple, you really learn a lot about where they're at in their current life based on where they've come from, mm-hmm. what they were taught, what they saw in marriage, what they experienced from their parents maybe or from relatives, and what they endured. And that's a lot of times how they base their decisions.
Well, yeah, but see, they're in the military now. And I can't imagine whatever the guy is in authority over them, the military, saying, listening to them and say, well, I signed up, I made this oath to follow the military, but I just didn't really fully understand what I was getting into.
Right,
so please forgive me for disobeying orders. Please forgive me for just allowing my feelings to overshadow everything I'm asked to do. It's just the way I am.
Yeah, that doesn't work in our
world. It doesn't work, does it? Does it work from God's perspective in marriage?
Absolutely not. You know, it just doesn't pan out that way. And I think that's a real... another good reason why we wrote this book based on military perspective and gearing it toward that military lingo,
mm-hmm.
because that's how we understand things. And as a military member, if you ask them that question or painted that picture for them, they're going to tell you they got to do whatever they took the oath. They raised that right hand, you know, so help me God, you know?
Well, so wait a minute. When we get married, we say, essentially, like a person raising their hand in the courtroom, I do now solemnly swear that the testimony that I'm about to give before God and these witnesses and the vow to my wife or husband till death do us part is going to stand until eternity. That's basically what we're saying. And then all of a sudden we say, well, not quite. I didn't really mean it that way. I didn't really know that there was a 9/11 that was going to come through. I didn't really know that a couple of kids were coming along and challenge us. I just don't feel like it anymore. How would that work in the military?
Not well. You know,
you might get court-martialed for an attitude like that.
Yeah, that's not going to bode well for you or your career or your future. So. In looking at it in the relationship perspective, putting it back in our own marriage, I had to get to a place of putting myself aside and not focusing on my own so-called needs or what I thought was right or what I mm-hmm. wanted to do. You know, I had to look at the oath that we took as a couple and say, you know what, she comes before me here. I have to understand more about her. Why is it that we're struggling in this area? Look mm-hmm. at myself first, you know, and come along beside her and uplift each other through God's word and through prayer, you know, and through, you know, walking together, you know, in God's care and in his word and working on those things, you know, together. So that's what we try to, you know, create for our military couples when we sit down and talk to them. Because a lot of times, And this rings so true over the last 10 to 12 years, most couples that sit down in front of us are not going through tremendous circumstances that they have to overcome. It's honestly, many, many times, it's just an imbalance of priorities.
Uh-huh.
It's just a misalignment somewhere that's creating all these waves. And once you get one of those priorities misaligned, well, the rest of them just kind of follow suit.
Well, it's like the little foxes that spoil the vine, right, Christina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you counsel together, is that right?
I'm sorry.
We do both. I counsel alone by myself too with couples throughout the military, and then we also, you know, have a way that we counsel together as couples mm-hmm. for other couples.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So we do that quite often as well because we want them to have both perspectives, and we want them to, you know, walk through with us kind of that journey and hear from the spouse, hear from the husband, mm-hmm. hear from each other on what that, you know, scenario might have looked like in their life, mm-hmm. not just get my perspective or her perspective.
So right.
Mm-hmm.
I think doing it together, like writing this book together, was, you know, a powerful way to do that because it helps those couples understand both sides and how to navigate those challenges that they face.
Well, Christina, you don't have all of those titles attached to your name here. On the other hand, the two of you are both under authority. If there's any characteristic of the military, it's being under authority. I remember the story of Jesus and the centurion there in the scriptures where he had a servant that was very sick, and they sent to Jesus, and Jesus said, come, and my servant shall heal my servant. And he said, well, you don't really have to do that. Just speak the word. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed, because I'm a man under authority, and I say this and that, and he does it. So he had an understanding of what it meant to be under authority. I think, Christina, and this may be a unique thing for you to speak to as a wife, but I think that we have a terrible problem in the church today about not really feeling like we're under authority.
Oh.
We're under our own authority.
Yeah.
So how does that work? How do you see that working in the couples that you're working with?
Well, it's the funniest thing when Matt and I we do intensive counseling together. So mm-hmm. marriage mediation with the hope and intention of complete and total reconciliation. So you're talking anywhere between 2 hours to sometimes 6 to 8 hours.
Uh-huh.
And in that time, when we talk about, for example, chain of command, I see immediately the wife start squirming around in her chair. And I had one specifically say to me, well, and she was a service member, so this is actually how we developed this chapter. She was a service member, and she said, well, he's not in authority over me. I don't care what anybody says. I'm in command when I'm at work, and I'm in command when I'm at home.
Whoa.
And I sat with her, and I said, I'm so glad that you said that.
So when is Jesus in command of her?
So what was so interesting was I walked her through. I said, let's talk about Ephesians 5 really quick, because I know that this gets very hairy when it comes to these types. But let's talk about it, and let's equate it to where you are at work. And she looked at me like I had 12 heads. She said, okay, you're crazy.
All right, you're going to have to hold on because we're going to have a hard time digesting this 12-headedness coming from you. So we'll be right back after this break. Valor and Vows, friends, a tactical guide to a mission-ready marriage. We all want a mission-ready marriage, I think. The problem is we don't quite understand the mission and we don't quite understand marriage. Maybe this book will help. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Saveus. 16 chapters in 92 pages, friends. Valor and Vows. It's one of the most action-packed marriage books that you'll ever find. Simple, to the point, helping us to understand our responsibilities, our roles, how we live this thing out, God's ultimate mission for us in marriage. That's really what it is. You see, before there was the marriage, there was Adam, just Adam. And God said, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to create a helpmeet. And he did. And the next thing that happened, then the serpent came. The serpent didn't come to Adam. He came to Eve right there in the garden. And the rest is history. God had ordained marriage to be the smallest microcosm of the church. It was his ultimate mission to display his glory, the united husband and wife and the Holy Spirit, and out of that would come the entire mission of the church. How are we doing? Well, our guest today, in fact, Christina Spencer, was telling us that she was seen by one of the counselees as a 12-headed monster. I'm not sure what that looked like. Christina, you're going to have to help us with that.
Kind of like Medusa with all the, you know, the snakes coming out of her head, yeah.
It sounds like Medusa.
Exactly.
Okay, so what was the deal there? I mean, you had this gal, a military wife, she was in the military, yeah. And she didn't quite understand. She thought because she was in authority over somebody else that she was automatically going to be in authority over her husband. Is that it?
Yes, yes. We were having a very interesting discussion about Ephesians chapter 5.
And, uh-huh.
And I said to her, I'm so glad that you brought this up because I wanted to broach a parallel with you. And she says, okay. I said, so who's the highest ranking office in the United States? And she said, well, you know, POTUS. I said, okay, what are some other names? Okay, Commander in Chief. Okay, perfect. Who falls under him? And she said, well, that's the vice president. I said, okay. I said, are you of the mindset that one of those two offices is more important than the other? And she says, well, no, they both carry significant weight, significant responsibility. As a matter of fact, if God forbid something happens to the president of the United States, the vice president then takes that position. I said, okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of them work side by side, but there is someone who is
in ultimate authority,
in the chain of command. And she said, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, if you don't have that, then you have mission failure because no one's giving proper vision and instruction. And I said, wonderful. You've just described marriage. And she looked at me again, Lucis Medusa face. She says, what? I said, that's it. That's Ephesians 5. God has given the husband and the wife tremendous, beautiful weights and responsibilities that we have, not just to one another, but to the next generation,
uh-huh,
and to the world.
Yeah.
But there has to be someone in that line of authority that can cast vision. If you look at Proverbs 31, you've got this, the duties and responsibilities of a noble woman, but then where is the husband? The husband is at the gate. Well, you know, it's joked around. People talk about, well, that's just because he's lazy hanging out with his friends. Absolutely not. He's in that place because he is ultimately responsible for how his household functions. And if he doesn't cast proper vision, and if he doesn't cast godly vision into the home, the entire structure breaks down.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting because just last evening, I finished a counseling session with another couple at about 11 o'clock in the evening, mm-hmm, after 3 hours. And I said to the husband, unless the Holy Spirit somehow imparts to you an understanding and a vision of what it really means to be a godly husband and a godly father, mm-hmm, notwithstanding the fact that you're a Christian,
mm-hmm,
you're finished.
Yes.
Without a vision, you perish.
Yes.
And it's just hard for people to comprehend that. And the man's responsibility in the household is to have that vision, isn't it, Matthew?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you just said that because that that was like an aha in the whole conversation so far, because, man, that's what we miss when we talk to our couples a lot of times. We talk to that, you know, the man and the home, and ask him that question. What is your vision? What do you cast for your house? What mm-hmm. do you build your home on? You know, what are your priorities? You know, and they start talking to me about those things, and they lay out some really good priorities,
mm-hmm.
you know, financial stability,
right.
you know, and raise the kids great, and
mm-hmm.
put, you know, an education and professional growth and all these things. And then they're looking at me like, those are good, right? And I'm like, those are fantastic. But where is God in your equation? Where, you know.
Yeah, there's no kingdom view there.
Right, yeah. You know? And we're talking about amazing, smart individuals, you know, with, you know, that are capable of making decisions for our country, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're just amazing individuals. However, they're missing that one element. And it all starts with that man establishing that, you know, in the home. And that's what I had to learn, because I didn't do that all the time. You know, near like I should have.
Well, there were a couple of times, I understand, in your book, that you just about broke apart and wrapped it up, huh?
We did,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so how did that come back together then?
We were no different than any other couple that was experiencing struggles, and
mm-hmm.
we just fell into the same trap of, well, mm-hmm. this is just what it is for us. We're not going to make it. We can't do this. We can't do that. All negativity.
Mm.
Well, we weren't but we weren't allowing God to come in and heal.
That's right.
To come in and work.
You mean to tell me your feelings had become lord over a guy that was under authority and over everybody else? Your feelings had become lord, Matthew?
Yes. And, you know, it came to the place of, you know, and we all get to that place at times, and we think we're right, or we want it our way, and, well, she's the problem in this situation, or he's the problem in this situation. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all mess up. We all have those things that we have to get better, but we have to do them together. And once we're able to get couples to see the 100% from each one and buy in on that marriage and working at it together, and start to see some of the positive, you know, things start to happen in their life and in their relationship, it's amazing to watch what God will come in and do. But you have to open your heart to allow mm-hmm. that to happen. And that's what we were not doing for a while.
Right.
But once we got on our knees and just really gave our entire relationship, our problems, our things over to him, laid them at his feet, asked him to come in and save our relationship, and we did mm-hmm. it his way. If you do it his way, it's going to work 100% of the time.
Well, mm-hmm. but the problem is that Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. And that's the problem, isn't it?
I remember in that season, you know, I had amazing prayer warriors, and one of my dearest sisters, she looked at me and she said, you're praying the wrong prayer. And you got to have people in your life that love you enough to tell you the truth in love. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you're constantly asking the Lord to change Matt's heart. She said, but I've never once heard you say, Lord, change me. And when she said that to me, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I felt so convicted. I felt this weight of conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And she was right. I never once said, Lord, change me. And Matt and I went through a season of about 9 months where we were in a constructive separation. So we were really just working on each other. We were working on our relationship with the Lord. We were intensively attending counseling. And it was in that season where I vowed to leave Matt's heart with God, but change my heart. Take my heart of stone and make my heart flesh.
And like the song says, change my heart, oh God, make me more like you.
100%, 100%. And when the Lord did that, all of a sudden, I became beautiful to my husband once again.
Mm.
And he became captivating to me once again. And he became even more captivating because I could see Jesus in him. And that was what was more attractive than anything else.
Well, I know that you were separated, you said, for 9 months. Mm-hmm. And,
yes, sir.
As a former trial lawyer, 40% of my clientele in the body of family law, in the largest family law court in the nation, the Los Angeles Superior Court System, and 80% of my clients were professing Christians. And, you know, people would say, well, you know, I think we just need a separation. I think we just need it. So I want to speak to that for a moment. There are two things that work with separation. One is absence makes the heart grow fonder, or the other is out of sight, out of mind. Now, for you guys, you are intent on trying to bring this thing back together. So it was absence make the heart grow fonder. But most people, that's not the way it works. Most people, it's out of sight, out of mind. So from my perspective, having counseled hundreds of couples, both as a lawyer and then as a pastor for 40 years, I don't recommend that people get separations for other than maybe a few days just to recollect themselves a bit. What say you?
And I would agree. I think in our case, the reason why it did work was because we were extremely committed to accountability and a plan of reconciliation. The word divorce was, you know, that it was, for me, it was absolutely not on the table. There was nothing that God could not fix. There was nothing that God could not heal. I knew that there needed to be a change in me in order for me to become the wife that honored God and that my husband deserved.
You mean to tell me, Christine, that the words that have we quoted so often, with God thing, all things are possible, actually works for marriage too?
100%. 100%.
Isn't that a novel idea, Matthew?
It's genius.
That's why, you know, I had to steal that quote from Dr. Jimmy Evans when he says, you know, if you do marriage God's way, there's a 100% chance that it will work. And he's right. You know, 100% chance of success in your marriage. Yeah. So if you want 100% chance of success in your marriage, which we do, you know, man, all you got to do is do it God's way.
Well, that's right. But who is God? Who is God? That's the big question lurking before us all in this day and generation. You know, you've talked about Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. But what we didn't talk about is how all that begins. It says, each of you in the fear of the Lord do these things. And as far as I'm concerned, Matthew, what's missing in among professing Christians today is the fear of the Lord. In fact, it's missing in our whole society. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the foundation even for marriage. And if we look, translating that into the military, if you don't have a kind of, shall we say, almost holy fear for the one that's in responsibility over you, in command over you, you're going to do whatever you want to do, aren't you?
Yeah,
you will. And it all comes down to accountability. You know, it all comes down to, like in the military, if you're given an order, you have a position, you have a mission set that you're responsible for, you have to carry that out.
And God gives us that mission, the mission of marriage. Yeah. And that's what's so great about your book. That's what's so great about your book, A Tactical Guide to a Mission-Ready Marriage. Talk about practical, my friends. This book helps to set the vision. Whether or not you're in the military, you can understand the lingo, and I tell you, it's really great. I've encountered a lot of books, but this one just distills it in ways that should help every single person that gets a hold of it, military or not. But if you've got somebody in the military, maybe you're in the military, you want to make a difference in your own marriage or for somebody else, this is your book, Valor and Vows. $17. We'll put this book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. Add $6 for postage and handling. Become a partner with us also. Okay? We're relying completely upon you. God's relying upon us to trust Him, and we rely upon you, and we all trust one another. God bless and be a blessing. Valor and Vows.
You
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.